Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas. Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. As the announcer said, I am your host, Michael Pappas. Despite the economic turbulence over the past several years, female and minority entrepreneurships are creating new businesses in record numbers. Although nearly one in three small businesses closed during the pandemic, a wave of female entrepreneurs has seized new opportunities by identifying market demands. Women have turned to entrepreneurship to address their need for flexibility due to childcare responsibilities and a desire for financial and career independence. A recent Gusto survey revealed that between 2019 and 2021, women entrepreneurs increased from 28% to 49%. In that period, the upturn of Black or African-American female entrepreneurs tripled from 3% to 9%. In fact, over the past 20 years, there has been a 114% boost in female entrepreneurs. Women entrepreneurs face many challenges. The most significant barriers include the following: access to funding, struggling to be taken seriously, finding a good support network, and balancing business and family life. SCORE recognizes these challenges and created the 2023 SCORE New Jersey Pitch Contest for women-owned businesses, with the winners receiving a $4,000 grant. Last week, I had as a guest one of the two winners of the $4,000 grant from the 2023 SCORE New Jersey Pitch Contest. I may be repeating myself from last week's show, but let me tell you about the contest. Back in April, SCORE New Jersey ran a contest for women-owned small businesses. It was funded by the Lester, Muriel, and Edie Frazier Women's Entrepreneur Fund for SCORE New Jersey. The two winners of the contest would receive a $4,000 grant for their business. Each business would submit an application telling the name, their products and/or services offered, length of time in business, a description of the market need and how they identify the need, their typical customer, the uniqueness of their product and/or service, how their product and/or service is different from the competition, an estimate of revenues for the next 2 years, and finally, if they won, how they would use the grant. The entries were reviewed by a panel of SCORE mentors, and 10 finalists were selected. Those finalists then had the opportunity to make a pitch of their business to a panel of SCORE mentors. If they wished, the finalists would be paired with a SCORE mentor to help them prepare their pitch. During the week beginning May 15th, the finalists made their virtual pitch presentation to the panel. The panel then chose two winners. As an added perk, each finalist was given the opportunity to be a guest on SCORE Business Points to talk about their participation in the contest and about their business. This week, my guest is one of the finalists in the contest, Lauren Latimosa, owner of Unwaste LLC. Welcome to SCORE Business Points, Lauren.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Good. I'm glad you could come. First, tell the listeners about yourself, your business background, and your business.
Okay, so I founded Unwaste in 2018. I was in the middle of pursuing my biomedical engineering degree at Rutgers University in New Brunswick, and I had a summer off, so I was doing this gardening job, and we would go to people's houses and work on their gardens, and I came up with the idea of also collecting their food scraps and using those food scraps to create compost and then essentially use in their gardens, which would create kind of like a little circular economy within a small scale, where we're working on their gardens, feeding their gardens with food scraps that they create that, you know, they could then use to grow more produce that they would eat. So I came up with the idea and saw that there wasn't any other businesses like this in New Jersey, and kind of just took that and ran with it.
I see.
Yeah.
But you said you were biomedical engineering?
Biomedical engineering. So I was about to start my own independent research project on meditation and like our psycho-neuroendocrinology, and kind of just put that on
put
hold.
That on hold?
Yeah.
Is it still on hold?
It's still on hold currently. I'd love to go back to it, but you know, the business is taking up most of my time.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you were one of the 10 finalists in this year's SCORE New Jersey Pitch Contest. Well, tell us how you heard about SCORE and the contest.
So, honestly, I can't remember how I first heard about SCORE. I feel like it's always just kind of been there as long as I've been in business. I was probably just looking up some resources for small businesses and startups. And I think it might have been from when I was registering my business, actually, that it could have been on like the business registration website as a resource for small businesses. But from that, from SCORE, I had used so many of their resources to, you know, get tips and
Would you listen to webinars?
Yes, I went to webinars before COVID. I was attending a lot of like workshops. Yes, many were in person. And then, you know, when COVID started, it just became all webinars. But it's been extremely helpful for me through the entirety of my business, like starting it, running it, growing it. And I still get emails from SCORE. And that's how I heard about the pitch contest. Mm. And I had also been working with a mentor, Brian Magnani.
Okay.
And he said, he sent it to me and said, hey, this looks like something that's up your alley. So let's try and go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, I know that the contest allowed you to work with the SCORE mentor. So did you work with Brian?
I did work with Brian, and they also assigned me with another mentor, Pat Saporito, I think you say her last name. But I ended up working with both of them.
Okay.
On the pitch contest.
And how did that turn out?
It went really well. They're both very different individuals with different experiences and expertise in business and like just business in general. So it was great to see the two different perspectives on things and the two different approaches to this contest, which I think gave me a really well-rounded approach, I guess, to everything.
Well, you've been in business now for over 4 years, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, how did you kind of said it in the beginning how you got started. I'm surprised that prompted you just to, you felt that there are no other places, no other businesses that are your competition?
We do have competition, but not directly in our service area. And the competition can range from other organics recycling businesses, which those there aren't many in the area. Those are more concentrated up north and on the west side of New Jersey. And there's almost none down south that I'm aware of. I know there are some larger, like, major haulers down south that specifically do organics recycling like we do, but not on, like, the residential small business side that we do. And another type of competition that I would say is just trash haulers in general, because a lot of people have trouble justifying recycling just their food waste with us because it's an added cost most of the time.
What do you mean it's an added cost?
So, well, it would, because our hauling, like, operations are more expensive than, like, a typical trash hauler. Mm-hmm. So, and plus I'm competing with these major companies like Waste Management and Republic that can keep their prices at such a low rate.
But they're mainly trash haulers rather than organic waste haulers, right?
Yes. But since it would cost people more to recycle their food waste and organics with us, they have a hard time not just sending it to the landfill.
I see.
Yes.
I see. How did you get the funding to go into this business?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No, I had money. I had enough money to register a business, to buy some promotional materials, and to buy some buckets to just get started with a few customers. And I actually promoted the idea of the business before actually promoting the business. And that's how I got to see that there was some demand for this.
I see that you ran your business with your father until he passed away. My condolences on that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Is that, do you have employees?
I have one employee.
Is that when you hired your employee?
So, surprisingly, no, because before my father passed away, I found out that I was pregnant. And when I found out that I was pregnant, that's when I had to hire someone to replace me to do the pickups. And they were doing pickups with my dad up until he passed, which was also a blessing because then they essentially helped me further along. So it wasn't because my dad passed. It was because I found out I was pregnant. Okay. Yeah.
How do you get the word out to your potential customers? What's your marketing like?
I want to say that I'm pretty terrible at it. I don't consider myself a business person.
Don't feel bad. I'm sure there are a lot of small businesses who feel terrible about what they do marketing. And that's not to mention SCORE, but that's one of the ways SCORES can help you. There are a lot of, I don't know what Brian's background is or what Pat's background is, but there are a lot of mentors out there. They can, if they don't do marketing types, they can place you with somebody to give you ideas for marketing. So, but what is your marketing right now?
So, pretty much the only way that I promote my business is at farmers markets. And we've had great success in specific farmers markets versus others because it depends on the area, I want to say, and like the demographics of the people that come to those specific markets. Like, for instance, I've had tons of success in Asbury Park at Asbury Fresh Farmers Market, but not so much at the Point Pleasant Farmers Market. So depending on location, it can determine whether or not we get a lot of signups or not. And doing the farmers market has been the best way. But I mean, just having a website and using social media has been another great avenue to get customers to even just be aware that we exist. Uh-huh. And a lot of times it's people that are looking for our type of business and our type of service that gets us signups, because other than the farmers market, I don't really do advertising. I pretty much just keep my social media as active as possible and just have a website.
And what social media are on? Facebook?
Instagram mostly, and Facebook.
And Facebook.
And yeah.
Do you use them in any way of just getting ads out?
I've tried ads, but mostly just posting and doing stories. And
so you do blogging?
Not really blogging, but you know, I just like to use it as a way to educate people and just to like show what we do. But I mean, I've considered doing the paid ads, but haven't really gotten into that so far.
From my understanding, it requires you to know what your target is. Mm-hmm. And you can target those ads, and they can be successful.
Right.
But if you have to know that your target is, well, as mm-hmm. I said, talk to your SCORE mentor, see if you can get something.
For sure.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about your business. So you sell products all geared towards eliminating waste. But why did you decide to go to sell products as well as collecting waste for composting?
So I would consider myself like just an environmental activist, very uh-huh. generally speaking. So it's more than just reducing our waste that's going to landfills. It's about reducing like unnecessary plastic consumption and single-use plastics. So that's always been at the forefront of my mind when it comes to running a sustainable business. And I really like the idea that I can bring these products to houses that we're already going to. So it's being able to cut down on unnecessary deliveries and labor, because we are frequenting these houses on a weekly or a biweekly basis. And if we're able to offer them products, that is going to help them cut down on their carbon footprint even further than recycling their food waste with us, then it's something that I'm happy to offer.
You said you go with your customers and you offer them. You only offer them to your customers, or do you offer to anybody else? If I decided I wanted to get them, could I become a customer?
So we only offer them to our customers because it ensures that they're in our service area, and it's a house that is like on our routes, and we're not going somewhere that's outside of our service area that's going to increase labor and travel costs, that's going to increase our carbon footprint more so than we would if they had already been a customer. I've dabbled with the idea of selling to people that are in our service area but that are not subscribers, but I just haven't really kind of established like a good way to do that yet.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you kind of answered my question. Why don't you offer this to the general public? Because I mean, you have a website.
Mm-hmm.
You do social media. It would be a great way to get your product out there to the general public, so that, and it's eco-friendly,
mm-hmm.
Which is a big thing today, being eco-friendly and cutting down on your carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. That's one of the big things that the government wants everyone to do.
Right.
So have you thought about it more so than what you just told me?
I thought about it, but I guess I would really kind of take the leap if I saw that there was more demand for people to buy the products. Which,
well, how would you know if there was more demand unless you were offering the product?
That's very true. I guess I don't know. So I don't know. Maybe it's something I should really look into doing.
Is there anything else that you would like the listeners to know about your business?
I mean, our mission basically is to encourage people to rethink the idea of organics as a resource rather than as waste.
Uh-huh.
Because what we're doing is we're taking a product that's getting wasted, food waste, and we're using that to create a completely new product with more of a value-added product. And that product in itself, compost, farmers call that black gold, mm-hmm. for good reason, because it's adding nutrients back into the soil that's getting depleted all over the world of, like, you know, natural nutrients other than chemical fertilizers. And not only just that, it helps the soil retain water, which can help mitigate flooding. And it's overall just a great product for the environment, and it's getting wasted, which is what brought me to just call the company Unwaste,
uh-huh.
in the first place. And, you know, and I think it's a direct example of, like, you know, you get what you put in. It's very karmic in a way. So, you know, the more we put back into the earth, the better benefits we'll get back from it. So,
well, you are, I gather you are an eco-friendly type person, that you believe in recycling.
I do, and I know that there's a lot of I don't know, confusion about the recycling industry in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard because you don't really know if what you're doing is making a difference when it comes to plastic recycling, especially. And that's why I feel like it's important for people to get educated about where their recycling is even going to. I feel like majority of people don't know the company that's picking up the recycling and where they're taking it and what that company is doing with it, which is why, for me as a business owner, I like to use my platform, my social media, to be as transparent as possible, to show people, this is how we're doing the pickups, this is where we're bringing it, this is where all of the stuff is going. So as long as I can be like a leader in that, mm-hmm. aspects and show people that this is how I think things can be done properly, then it'll encourage them to look at other companies that way and demand that.
Okay, you piqued my interest a little bit. You pick up the waste, the organic waste, and you compost. Where do you go compost to this?
Where is it composted?
Where do you? I mean, you got a whole bunch of organic waste now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't take it back to your home. I know that.
No.
Okay. Where do you take it to compost?
I bring it to a farm in Hopewell, New Jersey,
uh-huh.
and this farm also uses our clean food waste, so back of house, kitchen stuff from restaurants, and they use that to feed animals. So they're also saving on animal feed costs by just using edible food that would essentially be wasted. And the other, like, front of house, post plate, meaning like it's just like food scraps from people, that all gets composted on the farm.
Okay, and then you go back at some point in time and pick this up and deliver to your clients? Is that it?
The compost?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then there's finished compost that we give back to our clients.
I see.
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to give out your website so that the people know where to reach you?
Of course, yeah. Our website is unwastemovement.world, not .com.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I think that's about it, unless there's something else that you'd like to let the listeners know about?
I guess one other thing that I think is really important is that it doesn't matter if you're sustainable in all aspects of your life. I think the most important thing is to be as sustainable as you can be, because even that's going to make a difference than just not living sustainably at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much. That's a very good thoughts to have, and I appreciate you stopping by here and being on Score Business Points.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Who are America's women business owners? Guidant Financial, a business that helps finance small businesses and franchises through a full suite of funding solutions, did a 2022 Women in Business Trends report. That report took a deeper dive into the demographic of women-owned businesses. Is there a generation gap? Not for women-owned businesses, says Guidant. While the average business owner typically is a Gen Xer or a baby boomer, women entrepreneurs are 23% more likely to be Gen Xers. The respondents to the Guidant report were Gen X, 69%, Boomers, 19%, Millennials, 11%. Overall, women were still the minority of business owners. Gen X was 26%, and Millennials were 26%. Guidant suggests, however, that this might be a sign that women may be claiming a larger piece of the future small business pie. Although the women business owners were younger than before, the age of their businesses was comparable to that of all small businesses. 49% of businesses owned by women were between 0 and 5 years old, versus 52% on average. 17.5% were 6 to 10 years old, versus 23% on average. 12% were 11 to 15 years old, 5% were 16 to 20 years old, and 6% were over 20 years old. Overall, women were slightly more likely to own a business 10 years or older, 24% compared to 19% for men. Women are increasingly leading the high-growth firms. A startup that earns more than $1 billion is called a unicorn. Crunchbase, a company providing business information about private and public companies, reports that in 2021, a record-setting 595 companies joined the Crunchbase Unicorn Board, and 83, 14%, were founded or co-founded by women. Plus, in the first part of 2022, these are the latest statistics, 10% of unicorn companies were founded or co-founded by at least one woman. That information tells you that women-owned businesses are making themselves felt in the marketplace. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Score Business Points show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you would like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show or any past show, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. Are you a small business owner who has overcome a business problem? Maybe you would like to let the listeners know how you did it. If so, send me an email at sbp@wbnj.org. Again, that's sbp@wbnj.org. Or maybe you're a subject matter expert and would like to pass on your knowledge to the listeners. I can be reached at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. Again, it's sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars and in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj, and click on Local Workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any one of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register. That's all the time I have for today. I would again like to thank Lauren Latimosa for taking time out of her day to be with us on Score Business Points. Tune in next week for more Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then. For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000-plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.